It's Thursday, September 18th, 2008, and that means you've got 28 days left to register for NormalCon 2008. It's Normal's 37th annual national conference, Friday, October 17th through Sunday, October 19th, at the Doubletree Hotel and Executive Meeting Center, Berkeley Marina, in Berkeley, California. Register now for the conference. Early registrations get special discount pricing. Don't delay. We have negotiated a special rate for rooms that are sure to sell out fast. The theme of the convention is It's Not Your Parents' Prohibition. Over the first 2 days, you'll learn more than you thought you could know about marijuana law reform in our plenary and breakout sessions, which include how the media lie about cannabis, growing up and raising children in the age of legal medical pot, politics 2008, pot culture, the politics of marijuana and health, war on pot is a war on young people, what if we arrested 20 million Americans and nobody noticed?
Featuring the top experts in marijuana law reform from Normal and other cannabis-centered organizations. On Sunday, Oaksterdam University presents a look at California's medical marijuana dispensary businesses.
But it's not all work and no play. NormalCon 2008 also presents social gatherings and entertainment in the evenings so activists and attendees can network. It's 3 days of the best marijuana conference in the world with the largest, most popular marijuana organization in the world. Join us October 17th through 19th for the Normal National Conference in Berkeley, California. Sign up online today at norml.org. It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org, and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy you downloaded us today to get your fill of news and information that you can use for the cannabis community all across North America and the world. Speaking about North America, today's Hemp Headlines will feature a whole lot of stories about Canada. So, good day to all of you up there in the Great White North. Today, of course, is also our 420 Comedy Day with Terry Joyce from Hollyweed Live and formerly a finalist on NBC's Last Comic Standing reality show. Terry's got a very, very special guest for us, a really huge get for the Daily Audio Stash. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You can listen in and figure that out, but I'll give you a hint. It is said that our guest today used a type of anointing oil that was made up of 9 pounds of flowering tops of the cannabis plant. So stay tuned for that interview in our 420 comedy segment. Also, we're going to be doing some segments to preview the upcoming Normal Conference in Berkeley, California, October 17th through 19th. And one of the panels that we'll be featuring there is called What If We Arrested 20 Million People and Nobody Noticed It? George Rohrbacher from the Normal Board of Directors will be heading that panel, and he joins us today to talk about the subject. All right, Stashers, we got a lot of news and interviews to get to, so grab your peace pipe and load it up with some purple Urkel. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Informing America's Policy on Illegal Drugs. What We Don't Know Keeps Hurting Us. The following information comes from a newly released report by the National Research Council, Committee for Data and Research for Policy on Illegal Drugs, whose members are drawn from the councils of the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, and the Institute of Medicine. The study was supported by the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, aka the Drug Czar's Office. The issue most extensively studied has been the impact of decriminalization on the prevalence of marijuana use among youths and adults. Penalties for possession of small amounts of marijuana for personal use were significantly reduced in 11 states in the 1970s. All of these laws preclude incarceration for consumption-related marijuana offenses, making the offense punishable only by a fine, and most also classify the offense in a category, typically a civil infraction, that does not carry the stigmatizing consequence of having been convicted of a crime, hence the term decriminalization. Most cross-state comparisons in the United States, as well as in Australia, have found no significant differences in the prevalence of marijuana use in decriminalized and non-decriminalized states. In summary, existing research seems to indicate that there is little apparent relationship between severity of sanctions prescribed for drug use and prevalence or frequency of use, and that the perceived legal risk explains very little in the variance of individual drug use. I've been saying this for a while now, that everybody who wants to smoke pot is smoking pot. When I lived in Idaho, pot was absolutely illegal and very reviled in the culture. So I smoked pot. Then I moved to Oregon, where pot is medically legal, socially decriminalized, and generally accepted in the culture. And I still smoke pot. Who are the people who aren't smoking pot now, but suddenly will if it is decriminalized? Are there really a bunch of people who really want to smoke pot, but think that a jail term and a criminal fine are too much of a risk? But if it's a civil fine, then that's a risk they can take? If pot were outright legalized with consumer sales in regulated stores like liquor, then I think you'd probably see more people smoke pot, but only in the first couple of years. After the newness of it died down, I'm betting there would actually be less pot smoking, like in Amsterdam, where half as many people smoke pot as do in the United States. Organic growers hope to bag new Canadian medical marijuana contract. From the Canadian Press. Organic growers from Vancouver Island hope to bag the new federal contract to grow and distribute medical marijuana across Canada, with the promise of supplying better, cheaper, and different varieties of weed. Public Works Canada has extended the deadline for bids on the contract currently held by Prairie Plant Systems Incorporated, which operates a grow operation deep within a mine in northern Manitoba. No reason for the extension has been given. Companies that hope to win the contract say they are waiting for more information from Ottawa to complete their bids by the new September 29 deadline. Eric Nash, co-owner of Island Harvest in British Columbia, said he is eager to submit a proposal to supply high-grain strains of sativa and indica marijuana to registered users, some of whom have been unhappy with the quality of government-approved pot from the mine. Nash said, quote, "We want this contract because we know that we can supply a good quality organic product to patients." Nash has been legally supplying medicinal pot to a few registered users from his provincially inspected organic operation in the Coachan Valley. Quote, "What we would ideally like to do is gear up strain-specific plants for patients with different medical conditions. Many patients have tried the government product, which is just one strain that may work for someone with multiple sclerosis, but it doesn't necessarily work for someone with cancer or HIV/AIDS," end quote. I've spoken before with Philippe Lucas of the Vancouver Island Compassion Society, who has described the abandoned zinc and copper mine in Flin Flon, Manitoba, as one of the most environmentally polluted places in Canada. Lucas says that the Flin Flon marijuana seems to be grown to meet only the bare minimum requirements laid out in numerous court decisions. Now, the cynic in me says the Ottawa government does it this way on purpose to make the Canadian medical marijuana program as unattractive to patients as possible. Supply the people with one poor strain of mineshaft marijuana, and then when it doesn't provide much therapeutic relief, you can exclaim, "See? We told you medical marijuana is a sham. Here in Oregon, and likewise in most medical states, patients can grow their own medicine or have someone grow for them, and there is a bounty of different strains for different conditions. Each December, Oregon Normal hosts the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards, and 28 different strains are judged by 28 patients with various conditions and evaluated for medical efficacy against their particular conditions. And I know of similar types of evaluations in California and Washington State. In fact, Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre, will be keynoting at this year's Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards. The data from the past 8 OMCAs have been entered into a database, and Oregon patients can learn from others which strains work best for their affliction. Genetic diversity and self-sufficiency help explain why Oregon has 1/10 the population of Canada, but we have 10 times the number of registered cardholders. Canada's Green Party leader apologizes for not smoking pot. From CNN. The leader of Canada's Green Party, which supports the legalization of marijuana, has apologized for never smoking pot. Elizabeth May said she was, quote, not a big fan of marijuana use, the country's national news agency reported. I apologize, she said. A politician apologizes for not smoking pot? Has anyone checked the weather report from hell lately? Do I need to bring a parka? Driver on drugs found guilty in fatal crash. Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. An Edmonton area man who was high on marijuana when he slammed head-on into another car and killed two people has been found guilty of impaired driving causing death. James McElrick, age 36, was also found guilty on two counts of impaired driving causing death and two counts of impaired driving causing bodily harm. He looked dazed as Court of Queen's Bench Justice June Ross delivered her verdict. McElrick acknowledged he was driving one of two vehicles involved in the fatal crash on November 25, 2003, but admitted nothing else. He was allegedly driving the wrong way down Highway 21 near Sherwood Park around 7:30 p.m. when he collided with the oncoming vehicle. Tammy Engelking, age 27, and Henry Yao, age 40, died in the collision. The passengers suffered serious injuries. A bystander rushed to McElrick's van and opened the door and noticed the strong smell of marijuana. Doctors later questioned whether he was fit to consent to tests because of his level of intoxication. The court had heard that he had been using marijuana, Paxil, Zyprexa, and Ativan. Before I start any of my commentary, let me note that if you're so high you drive the wrong way down a highway and crash into and kill two people, you deserve very severe punishment. That said, notice the lead of this story says, quote, who was high on marijuana, end quote, and you don't hear about the pharmaceuticals until you get to the end of the story. The average reader is going to infer marijuana causes accidents and death from that lead. But deeper analysis reveals that the pharmaceuticals may have been much more to blame. Looking at Paxil, for example, its serious side effects include problems with balance or coordination, and less serious side effects may include drowsiness or dizziness. Zyprexa's serious side effects include sudden numbness or weakness on one side of the body, problems with vision or balance, feeling lightheaded, fainting, or hallucinations, with less serious side effects including dizziness or drowsiness. And Ativan, its serious side effects include hallucinations, feeling lightheaded, and fainting, and less serious side effects may include drowsiness, dizziness, tiredness, blurred vision, lack of balance or coordination, and trouble concentrating. Ativan's also got one of those warnings to tell your doctor if you're also taking Paxil because of a possible bad drug interaction. Now, I'm not saying that the cannabis consumption had nothing to do with the accident, but it's misleading to imply that he wrecked because of the marijuana alone when he was using three other drugs that are known to cause such side effects that would seriously impair a driver.
Now it's time to play Pass the Stash, where you can win cool prizes from Normal.
U.S. drug czar John Walters doesn't believe anybody is in jail for marijuana possession.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn.
But the loveliest of them all was the unicorn.
Are you one of the drug czar's unicorns? Did you serve time for a first-time nonviolent marijuana possession charge? Tell us your story and you could win big.
The loveliest of all was the unicorn.
You can remain anonymous, and if we use your story on the podcast, you'll win a copy of the DVD Totally Baked, autographed by AC/DC's lead singer Brian Johnson, as well as excellent Normal swag like stickers and posters, and a steak dinner from drug czar John Walters. Steak dinner depends on whether the drug czar keeps his word, which isn't very likely.
We didn't arrest 800,000 marijuana users. That's the same lie I just talked to your colleague back there about.
Send us your email, I am a marijuana unicorn, to stash@normal.org today. Contest ends Friday, October 10th, 2008.
Don't you forget my unicorn.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 12 states today, and THCF has medical clinics in 6 of those states. Our physicians help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help them obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, Colorado, Nevada, Hawaii, and California. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at www.hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Weed.
That's Hooey Valley, Hooey Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time to take a look at 420 Comedy with the star of Hollyweed Live. You know her from the season one of Last Comic Standing on NBC. It's Terry Joyce. Well, here we are once again with 420 Comedy and Terry Joyce. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, you know, we were looking around some of the stories, you and I got to talking a little bit, and one of the things, and I especially want to get the attitude in Southern California on this, because, you know, they always talk about Southern California kind of being the land of New Age and you know, that kind of spiritual thing. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the marijuana movement who are interested in the use of cannabis as a, like a spiritual sacrament. And so I was wondering, have you met these people in California at all? Is there a lot of that going on?
I have, and first of all, I just want to say on my end, I do look at marijuana as a spiritual sacrament. You know, I just like to take my sacrament throughout the week rather than just once a week.
The Sabbath is 7 days long, right?
Right. It's like, well, you know, I think it's today. Today's a good day. But yes, I do know people like that. I have, because there are people that believe that, and you can even see it in movies as well. The reference that marijuana opens up your consciousness to spiritual enlightenment or connection, and a lot of people do feel that way. There's a guy named Craig X. Have you heard about Craig?
Yeah,
X
I think I have.
Yeah, and he, you know, he had a temple, Temple 420, which was a Judeo-Christian church, and they had services on Saturdays and Sundays at 420 every day. And he takes a quote from Revelations that says, "In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Now, he interprets this as being that this is marijuana, that it is the leaf of the tree, or it's the tree of the leaves or the leaf. It's something green that heals the nations.
Sure, and the bearing fruit, you know, every month.
That's his idea, you know. But it was he went to court on that, And he's been sentenced to some prison time, which is really unfortunate. Has been in a very difficult way. And there were a couple cases where the Rastafarians, the federal government, or there was a law passed that they can use marijuana for their religious practices, but on the state level, it hasn't been passed. So it's kind of in the reverse. Like the state has passed medical marijuana, but not. It just seems like no matter what you do, you can't seem to get through, right?
Yeah, really. And, you know, these religious cases that come up, the most recent one I saw was at the Eighth Circuit Court, and it was the Zion Coptic Church out there in Arizona was trying to get that federal recognition under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it got struck down. And it just kind of bugs me because, you know, I myself don't subscribe to any religions. I kind of believe that, you know, we all have the right to use anything that's growing on the planet, you know, so long as we don't hurt anyone else. You know, but what I'm really excited about today, Terry, is that you brought me, I mean, talk about being connected. I knew you're down there in Southern California. You meet a lot of famous people, but you have brought me probably the biggest guest we've ever had on the Daily Audio Stash. I'll let you take care of the introduction, though.
Well, you know, I have to say, Radical Rest, that I am connected. I'm connected to the power people.
Yeah.
And today, we do have Jesus Christ here today.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
I mean, and he has come back as a stand-up comedian.
Really?
To give the message. And so I'd like to introduce Comedy Jesus Christ.
Well, Comedy Jesus Christ, thank you for being here on the Daily Audio Stash today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be back.
Well, you know, you didn't get treated so well the last time you were here. Are you sure it's wonderful to be back?
Well, you know, that's till they get me again. It's nice. See, I always like to come back right before the fall of an empire, so this is kind of fun for me. It's like watching a big sporting event, watching it all go down. So, yeah, I know last time they didn't treat me very well, and it's the same people that are in power in this country right now. So it's just, you know, it's interesting to watch as an outsider this time.
Well, yeah, and I imagine, you know, looking up from above, you know, you've seen this kind of cycle go over and over and over throughout the history of humanity, right?
Yeah, I call it the circle of retardation.
We're speaking again with Comedy Jesus Christ and Terry Joyce. And Comedy Jesus, I was just wondering, you know, you're looking down, you're seeing all these people that are using the marijuana, and then you've got the governments that are trying to stop them from using the marijuana. And oftentimes, these governments are elected by people who claim you as their savior, and they look to you for advice. So I was wondering if you could just, you know, clear it all up for them, to let them know what you really think about people using the marijuana.
Well, they should not be looking so much to me. They should probably, these people that quote me a lot, I call them my stalkers, they should probably be looking towards marijuana much more, and that way they wouldn't vote for, you know, all these douchebags that they keep electing. What marijuana does for Republicans is a very important thing. It actually, as Terry said, it does open their minds up. It does make them a little bit smarter. It raises their IQ, as long as they avoid the really crummy Mexican stuff. You know, you can't get the stuff that grows way out in the desert. You know what I mean? You got to go with the hydroponic. Sacramento has the word sacrament in it. So go for the Northern California stuff. But, you know, what it would do is make them a little bit more open-minded to actually what's going on.
I completely agree. And, you know, I was quite surprised because I never thought I would hear Jesus say douchebag.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Me either.
They edited that out of the Bible the first time around. I said a lot of stuff, and, you know, as the people who edited the Bible, oh, boy, bunch of douchebags.
Well, you know, I had some other questions for you. They're not exactly marijuana related. I figure, you know, my opportunities to interview Jesus Christ are going to be few and far between. So I was just wondering, you know, lately people have been claiming you've turned up all sorts of places, like a water stain under a bridge and on a tortilla and on a cat and such. What's up with that?
Okay, that actually is true.
Oh.
I have a very good sense of humor that way. And so for me, it's kind of like a little bit of like a punk type of thing. It's really fun to show up in all these. So every time that does happen, a waffle, a pancake, a wall, you know, something comes out of the laundry, that's actually me, and that's my picture. It's just like a little, I guess you could say I got a really good publicist.
It reminds me of that London graffiti guy Banksy, man. You're just turning up everywhere you look. Hey, Terry, I was wondering something. You know, this is such a great get. How in the world did you end up meeting Jesus?
Well, you know, Jesus and I, we go way back. I would say, many lives. And, I just ran into him again on the free speech show.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Cause, you know, Jesus likes to have free speech.
Jesus, you're all about the free speech. Is that right?
After the price I've paid in the past, I love anything that's free.
No kidding. Now, you're down here amongst us, like you said, before the fall of the most recent empire, and you're spreading the word, and where can people come to see Comedy Jesus, just in case they need a little churchin'?
Well, I do have, because, you know, the days are gone of doing, like, a Sermon on the Mount, so I do have a more like a PowerPoint on the Mount on a live DVD that comes out on September 25th in, I guess, about a week or so, and that is going to be out, and a week from today it comes out.
Excellent.
And that is a live sold out show at a festival where, you know, that's what I got to do to get the message out. They can go to comedyjesusshow.com.
Okay.
And get the info and watch the videos and trailers and all that. And then I have a feature film coming out that's kind of like the Bill Maher movie Religious, and that comes out at the end of the year.
I see. And just speaking of Bill Maher, you know, he's
really busy, huh?
Jesus has got a full BlackBerry going there, that's for sure. You know, speaking of Bill Maher and the movie Religious that's coming out, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are like me that have, you know, kind of grown up with a kind of an atheist background. Do you have any words for the atheists out there that might be listening?
Yeah, the big joke is people are, hey, I don't believe in atheists. Well, you know what? I'm trying to tell people that if they would, if they really wanted to be spiritual, they would be atheists. I was sort of religious in my day, and then I realized after it all went down how stupid it all was. So, you know, I'm an atheist now, and I'm trying to people the goodness of godlessness, because they don't need, like, really, would people really need me? Like, if I wasn't here to tell you love your neighbor as yourself, would you really go, yeah, you know what, I hate my neighbor until some guy named Jesus comes along and tells me to love him? I'm not going to do it.
That's a very good point, but what does your dad think about you not believing in him?
It's a very strange cosmological argument you're getting into with that. But let's just say that my dad's not there to express his disapproval.
Okay, well, Comedy Jesus, that is some wonderful words of wisdom, and thank you for helping clear up some of those theological arguments. And before we go, Terry, let's kind of wrap things up here. Do you have any future shows you need to tell people about, or any plugs you want to get in?
Well, I am at Martini Blues tonight in Huntington Beach. And the show's at 9 o'clock. It's Martini Blues. So I'll be there with Adam Hunter, who was just on this past season of Last Comic Standing. It'll be the two of us together.
Excellent. All right. And Comedy Jesus, anything else for you?
I have lots of – people just go to comedyjesusshow.com or if they just go to YouTube and type in Comedy Jesus, all my videos come up. And that's the new mount.
All right. That's right. YouTube is the new mount, so to speak. Terry and Comedy Jesus, thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash today.
Thank you.
I smoke lots of weed, man. I plant that big old seed, man. I smoke every strain there is in town. From the super sticky green to the headache mix brown, I smoke every strain there is around.
I know that I like it. I know that lots of people like it. So let's see what happens if you overdo it.
Do we have any pot smokers here tonight?
My name is Doug Benson, and I'm about to get super high.
The term medical marijuana, you drank the Kool-Aid, because there is no such thing as medical marijuana.
I'm going to smoke pot every day for 30 days and try to remember to film it.
And my movie is going to be called Super High Me.
Or business as usual. I haven't decided yet on the title.
I'm going to be hospitalized, I think.
Some people call it dope. Some think it smells like burning rope. I tell you, it relieves my mind.
Q.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. On our Thursday stash, we get to enjoy the ethereal sounds of Diva Sonic and I Feel High. Diva Sonic is really Linda Arnold, the multi-talented performer that produces, writes, and plays many different instruments to make Diva Sonic come to life. She plays the flute and piano and engineers and arranges her own music. A mix of dance and electronica with some new age poetry and a groovy texture lay the base for Linda's beautiful vocals. Linda started with dance lessons as a child, adding the piano and flute later. She majored in classical music in college and started producing and performing her own music in 2000. Today's track has the perfect title, as Diva Sonic's engaging sound takes you on a journey. Learn more about this talented artist at her website, divasonic.com, or her MySpace page. We've got links to both of them at our website, stash.normal.org, where you can also get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Diva Sonic with I Feel High.
I feel high, I feel high, oh, the light in your eyes. The road of individuality is not a straight line. The way you snuck up on me, or what can I do? Thank you.
I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Well, as we've been telling you for the past few days, the Normal Conference is coming up in Berkeley, California on October 17th through the 19th. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having some guests here on the Daily Audio Stash to give us a little preview of what you can expect in some of the plenary sessions at the Normal Conference in Berkeley. So joining us today from Washington State is a good man, a member of the Normal Board of Directors, and a gentleman farmer, our own George Rohrbacher joins us. George, welcome to the Stash.
Yeah, well, very nice to be on, Russ.
So, the title of your presentation for the Normal Conference is called, What If We Arrested 20 Million Americans and Nobody Noticed? And this kind of goes along with an ad campaign you started. And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what they can expect?
Well, one of the things that all of us who are involved in Normal are constantly aware of is the wreckage that this prohibition costs, and this wreckage is tabulated in a number of forms, one of which is the arrest reports. And since the 1965, which was the beginning of the Uniform Crime Reporting System, Normal has been keeping tabs on a county-by-county arrest statistics for the United States, and every year, about this time of year, and in fact, you actually just wrote a blog about it a couple days ago on the Normal website. The crime stats for the previous year come out, and we publish them, and it's like dropping a stone down a well that's thousands of feet deep. You can listen to it, you know, clink, clink, clink as it's going to the bottom, but you never hear it hit bottom.
Yeah.
You know, the press has just not seen the annual arrest of marijuana users as a significant thing to write about.
Yeah, and that's
and each year, you know, the numbers are getting huger and huger. And this winter, I was contemplating America's fixation with what I call the odometer rollover effect, and saw that we at the end of 06 we had arrested 18 million and change, and it occurred to me, well, when is that 20 millionth arrest going to happen? Maybe if the number 20 million is so easy to remember, easy to say again, maybe that's a milestone that America might wake up and smell the coffee, if you want to use that analogy. And so the whole idea behind this panel is to talk about the implications for America on reaching this disgusting goal of 20 million arrested for and approximately 90% of course are small quantities below an ounce.
Yep. So, and disproportionately young people as well.
And disproportionately people of color.
Yeah. So that we were approaching 20 million arrests, and like you said, just this week the FBI released their latest uniform crime reports for 2007 that showed for the fifth straight year a record number of people arrested for marijuana, over 872,000 this last year. So what is the date that you anticipate we're going to hit 20 million?
On 10-10-08.
10-10, a week before the Normal Conference.
A week before the Normal Conference, yeah. And it just, I was just screwing around with my calculator this February trying to extrapolate 06's data into 07's and then into 08's just to see where this mythic milepost, where we were going to cross it. And calculator set to the 10th of October, and it just so happens that conference is a week after that.
So. 20 million arrests. So we're looking at that coming up at the 10th of October, and your plenary session is called What If We Arrested 20 Million People and Nobody Noticed. Who's involved in that panel with you, George?
Well, Ethan Nadelman from Drug Policy, Ryan King with the Sentencing Project out of Washington, D.C., Craig Reinerman, who's a sociology professor from UC Santa Cruz, and Professor Robert McCoon from Berkeley Law School has not yet confirmed, but we think he's going to be on the panel.
Excellent. That's a large degree of many of the experts in drug law reform that are going to have a lot of great opinions and facts to cite there at the Normal Conference. And you know, I was putting together a chart for this, this latest arrest report, and as I was building the chart, I thought it might be interesting to compare Republican administrations to Democratic administrations, since we are in an election season. And I found that over the administration of Bill Clinton, we arrested about 4.5 million people for marijuana. Over the administration so far of George W. Bush, we've arrested about 5.5 million people. So it really doesn't seem to matter, you know, whether we have Democrats or Republicans in office, the drug war continues apace. And so I was wondering, you know, in your opinion, as you look at these big arrests, what is it that makes it such an attractive policy for both Democrats and Republicans?
Well, no politician wants to be called soft on drugs. If you're seen as soft on drugs, that means, you know, you don't care about children, society, or anything else. So you're not getting arrested. You're not getting elected.
Right.
And so basically, it's like throwing babies out of the boat to float you through the rapids.
Okay.
And, you know, it's kind of a harsh way of looking at a political decision like that. But it's really like, don't bother me with this. You know, we're interested in something larger. But when you look at the enormity of this, and I mean just the enormity of last year, 872,721 people, each one of which are going to have probably problems with their job, problems with running an apartment. If you're a student, you're in jeopardy of losing your student loans, and a whole raft of other
consequences.
Yes, of this that can trickle on for years. And in fact, let's say you get popped and you do whatever community service, and the judge says, fine, you know, after such and such a time, we expunge your record. Well, in the day of the internet, there is no such thing as an expunged record.
Right.
Once it's recorded, it is part of the public domain from then on.
Yeah.
And as I've been looking back across this arrest thing, one of the things that really jumps out at me is this huge ramp up since 1980 of people in jail. 1980, 800,000 in jail. Today, over 2.5 million. And one of the unintended consequences of this huge arrestorama that we've been engaged in the last couple of years, in the last two, three decades, is that now on an annual basis, 700,000 people graduate from jail and go back into the communities. And so what you have, the opportunity of having the worst folks in societies, who are the long-term residents, training people who got popped for half an ounce of weed, training them how to be criminals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like on an annual basis, we are putting back into our communities almost as many freshly trained ex-convicts as we had incarcerated in Toto 25 years ago.
Yeah, we do have the world's largest prison population, both in raw numbers and per capita, by far surpassing our nearest competitors, Russia and China, respectively. And, you know, one of the things about these 20 million arrests, and like you say, you know, what if nobody noticed, is the drug czar and a lot of these people that support these policies like to come back and say, well, nobody's really going to prison for it, you know, for marijuana. They might get arrested, but, you know, usually it's a slap on the wrist or something like that. And I think the session is going to do a good job of pointing out, you know, what are the long-term effects of these marijuana arrests, like you just mentioned. And so where I want to go with this is, I always found it funny, well, funny tragedy kind of way, that the drug czar on one hand will come out and say marijuana is this terrible thing, it's the most dangerous thing, it's the gateway drug, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible, but on the other hand, we don't really lock people up for it. Well, wait a minute, if it's so bad...
Yeah, And in fact, there are approximately 50,000 people doing jail time today, in jail today in America. You know,
for marijuana. Well,
you know, Walters is, excuse me, full of bull on that. I mean, let's just flip the calendar back to October 30, 2004, not quite 4 years ago. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, right down the damn street from Walters. They arrested a guy, 28-year-old black guy, in a wheelchair named Jonathan Magby. He had one joint on him. He was sentenced to 10 days in jail in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, 4 years ago. And he died in jail due to respiratory failure because they wouldn't allow the ventilator that he needed to breathe into the jail. Now, Mr. Walters, what about that one?
Yeah, well, even one is just too many, that's
yeah,
for sure.
And that, you know, in Washington State, just the 30th of May, we lost a patient on an organ replacement list because he tested positive for cannabis that had been prescribed and legally recommended and legally used right here in the state of Washington.
And right.
He died because a prohibitionist medical personnel bumped him off the list.
That'd be Tim Guerin up there in Washington State.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, these things continue, and so these are the not necessarily unexpected consequences of these 20 million marijuana arrests. And, you know, if there's maybe one silver lining to the recent bad financial news out of Wall Street, it's my consideration that maybe, just maybe, the financial situation will get so bad for the federal government, they can't afford to continue this war on drugs the way they have.
Well, and it's not only the federal government, but it's right down to the state house and the city and county government. Every one of those, I mean, the city of Vallejo, California, declared bankruptcy 6 months ago before the shit hit the fan. We've got several counties in the country that are looking at the same options. They've just downgraded the value of junk bonds from New York City. So on a budgetary basis, you know, receipts are down. You know, no one's building like they were, so the sales tax receipts are down. A lot of houses in foreclosure aren't getting taxes paid on time. And, you know, all of those things add up. And, of course, it costs school buses, you know, twice as much to go pick up the kids because gas is twice as much. And all of those things that at some level we have to come to budgetary sanity on this and look at the $10 billion of enforcement and the $10 to $30 billion of potential tax revenue and realize that keeps a lot of libraries open.
I like we say here in Oregon, we marijuana smokers have to be the only people in the country that are begging to be taxed.
Yeah. You know, you've got billions of dollars of untaxed commerce going on around us
yeah, I'd much rather my marijuana money keeps a library open or a school bus running than buying my dealer a new Xbox.
That's right.
Well, George Rohrbacher is a normal member of the normal board of directors and a farmer in Washington State. His session on what if we arrested 20 million people and nobody noticed will be featured at the Normal Conference in Berkeley, California this October 17th through 19th. Make sure to sign up today. The rooms and the signups are going quick, so you want to get there online at normal.org. Look in the top left corner. There's a handy link for you to sign up for the conference. And George, thanks for joining us again here on The Stash.
Sure, and all the listeners, take a look at the Normal website, and very soon the Marijuana Gothic contest will open on the website, and this is about the issue of the 20 millionth arrest.
Yep, and we'll be hyping that on the Daily Audio Stash as well.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot, George.
Thanks, Russ.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. Bye. for everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes. This one comes from the UK Royal Commission, otherwise known as the Wooten Report, back in England 40 years ago in 1968, that found, quote, "Having reviewed all the material available to us, we find ourselves in agreement with the conclusion reached by the Indian Hemp Drugs Commission and the New York Mayor's Committee that the long-term consumption of cannabis in moderate doses has no harmful effects. The long-asserted dangers of cannabis are exaggerated and that the related law is socially damaging, if not unworkable," end quote. The Wooten Report, the Indian Hemp Drugs Report, the LaGuardia Commission Report, the Institutes of Medicine, the Schaefer Commission from Richard Nixon, all of these governmental commissions have come to the same conclusion. Marijuana use is not harmful in moderation, and that prohibition of marijuana is far more harmful. It's time we just legalize it. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.